it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 10th of October, 2015. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, and the show is brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. On Saturday, the 10th of October, Jan Velnisaroy spoke to Ian Burrows from the Hauraki Golf Conservation Trust about predator eradication, and he spoke to Kristen Boucher from Project Little Onirua.
In the studio today, we've got Ian Burrows. He's the chairperson of the Hauraki Golf Conservation Trust. He's here to talk about a couple of things. The first is a $40,000 grant for predator eradication on Waiheke Island. So welcome, Ian. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So just tell us a little bit more about this grant, how it came about, where it came from, and what it's going to be used for.
$40,000's come from the DOC CCPF Fund, which is the Community Conservation Partnership Fund. We were encouraged to apply to them through one of their community funding managers, following various meetings that we've had over the last year or so, based on observations that we've made through the last two or three walking festivals, that there is a lot of predator programs going on the island, and that potentially with a sort of coordinated approach, you can perhaps fill the gaps and free the island of predators, being the critter type rather than the plant type at this stage.
Sure.
So the focus is on the likes of stoats and rats and feral things, pigs, goats, cats and so on. There's a lot of interest in it from a sort of national basis. We have a lot of amazing islands around Waiheke Island that are now predator-free, places like Rotorua and Motutapu. These critters can swim. Mm-hmm. There was a bit of a scare, I gather, on Rotorua before they released their takahe, where apparently a couple of rats that might have swum across from Waiheke were found.
Gee.
Fortunately dealt with before they caused any problems.
Good.
So there's a lot of interest in making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very strong community here. Mm-hmm. And we really want to try and encourage that community to enable us to get rid of these critters so that potentially we can release kiwis and other birds and so on, reptiles, back onto the island in due course.
Beautiful. Do we know, have we got any estimation on how many of these critters are running around, or is it too hard to tell?
Too hard to tell. Part of what we would see happening as part of the first stage would be some fairly major monitoring programs going through. You might have seen as you walk around various tracks close to Whakanifa and Tafau, you will have seen little black tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
They basically have little ink pads in them and a bit of paper, and you can sort of see what's going through them.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the early stages will be to put a fairly major amount of those around the island so that we understand better what is where.
Sure.
The stoats really are probably the top of the pecking order. Mm-hmm. The island's very fortunate not to have possums,
mm-hmm.
Which are one of the major focuses back on the mainland and elsewhere in the country, because obviously they decimate not only trees and so on, but also take eggs and everything out of nests.
Mm-hmm.
So we're lucky in that way.
So have we never had possums here, or have they been killed off?
I think we've never had possums, from what I understand.
That's brilliant.
There's been a few scares, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Apparently one or two April Fool's jokes in years gone by where suddenly a possum has appeared, but fortunately we are free of them.
Brilliant. Now, specific areas of the island to be targeted, is this island-wide, or are you concentrating on Whakanifa or certain regions?
We see it as an island-wide project. We'd like to get the whole island free. It's been proven that you can predator-free various islands, as I've already alluded to, and you think of places like Turi-Turi, which are amazing to go and now visit. There's interest in seeing whether you can do this on heavily populated islands. Stewart Island, they're starting to bring in, I gather, some discussions about responsible cat ownership and so on, and they're keen to do something there. There's some major programs going out on Great Barrier Island. Waiheke obviously has a much larger population base with our 8,000 plus permanent mm-hmm. residents, and then a few more tens of thousands that turn up during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
There is a national interest in trying to eradicate predators across New Zealand, and people like Predator Free New Zealand are producing maps and so on to try and start identifying what's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And that again is a key part of what we see as part of the early stages, is to really try and map what is being done, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of traps out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now there would be thousands of critters there, and during the breeding season, even more of them.
Yeah. So what can the public and the people of Waiheke do to get involved in this project, if anything? Should they be looking out for predators, or are you guys going to take care of it and do it for us?
No, we're a small group of trustees, so our role generally has been an umbrella funding organisation to secure funds for people like Mackenzie Reserve, the Friends of Totoki, the Wetlands and so on. So the plan is to utilise the enthusiasms of the individuals and the groups that are also already doing amazing things. So if you look at what Forest and Bird are doing in their reserves, there's the Tamatakou Land Care project that's going on the eastern end of the island, which is fairly close to where Rob Fenwick's done some serious eradication over the last few years. You've got the Rocky Bay rat busters being corralled by Corolla down there. So there's some sort of models that potentially you can roll out around the more urban areas. The eastern end, really, it's going to be a case of working with the larger landowners that aren't already doing things, or maybe are doing part of their area and are interested in expanding it. Mm-hmm. So we'd be encouraging groups of people that are doing stuff already to talk to their neighbours and see whether they can roll out a program. We can refer them to people who are already doing things, mm-hmm. the way to possibly how to do it. Mm-hmm. Put stations out if you've not already got them out. Where part of the first stage will be to really attack stoats, because they're the top of the predator pile, shall we say. Mm-hmm. They will take out kiwis. If we can eradicate stoats off the island, then potentially we can release kiwis whilst we still have rats. And there's a very positive feeling that can be achieved. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably be organising, come and build a whole load of Dock 200s, which are stations to get rid of stoats at some point. So right. there'll be sort of community involvement days doing various things. We're planning to bring over some students at some point to be available to come and locate where traps are already set through the GIS and get them onto a plan that will then log them. So when we put that out, if people are interested in finding out more and happy for us to come and log their own stuff that they're already doing, that would be great. Key one, if there's any philanthropic individuals out there that would like to provide some funding, it's going to be a long program. Mm-hmm. We've sort of come up with an idea of predator-free by 23. It could take longer. Uh-huh. The application to DOC was for a lot more money than we got. Mm-hmm. We're putting in other applications to various funding organisations that we've used in the past. Like Foundation North, which was formerly the ASB Community Trust. We'll be talking with the Tyndall Foundation through the likes of BNZ and Air New Zealand with their Kiwi programs that they're doing, Predator Free New Zealand. The council, we're just putting into their Natural Heritage Fund that's currently open. And hopefully we can then get a sort of enough money together that will enable us potentially to employ some trappers on a sort of contract basis, so mm-hmm. we can create a bit of work on the island for certain people. Mm-hmm. But it is going to rely very much on people doing their own thing, either individually or as groups.
So is trapping the main way to get the predators, or are we talking poison or catching?
We've talked about really Waiheke do it your way. Mm-hmm. Obviously there are a diverse group of individuals on the island with fairly strong views as to how they would prefer to do it.
Sure.
We're planning to work very closely with DOC on best of techniques. Obviously poison, I think, is generally shown as being the most effective, but obviously there are knock-on effects of that, and sure. there are certain individuals and groups that just won't go down that line, mm-hmm. in which case there are all sorts of range of baits, bait stations, and now more mechanical type of things. There are various people on the island who've been creating and trialling stuff. There's more to come from what we understand from DOC, so we're talking about giving them an opportunity to trial new technologies. There's technology whereby you can be sitting at home and there's something on your station or your trap that gets triggered when something gets caught, so that you know it's been fired, and you perhaps then have to go and remove one dead carcass from said trap, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so that the rats don't get wise and go, why are there a pile of dead rats around here? Because they're quite smart, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. You just mentioned a few of those other projects before. Could you give us an update on some of those projects? So you've got the wetland restoration project, Mackenzie Reserve, the Waiheke Schools wetland restoration, and the Araroa Bay Bush Track. How are those sort of projects going and progressing?
They've been ones that we've been assisting in terms of raising funding now for several years. I think the school wetland project's been going for about 7 years. So it's that area of land on the left of the main road as you come from the eastern end to the western end, mm-hmm. Which is now looking very well replanted. Tony King Turner has been working very closely with the schools there. The schools have had their kids put a lot of time and energy and effort into creating that area into a very pleasant looking area now, compared to what used to be a wild, swampy, weedy mess. Mm-hmm. They've managed to get various companies to come across. I think the latest one was the New Zealand Media and Entertainment Company, who came across with seven individuals and helped dig holes for trees and so on. So that one's well underway. Totoki Reserve, again driven by Tony King Turner. You will have seen, if you've wandered down there or taken your dog for a walk, a lot of clearing of weeds and so on has been going on. That's a major ongoing program that will keep on going, and again will need more funding and also needs more people to get involved in that area. It's one of these where I think there used to be a lot of people interested in helping it. It's down to a valiant few. So Tony could do with a few more hands on deck there if you want to get involved. Mackenzie Reserve, I don't know whether people remember that as a pine forest when we first came to the island 18 years ago. It was a series of very rickety pines that they'd actually been planted by a friend's grandfather. They all got felled. It's been replanted in native bush, and they're just in the process of putting together the application to get funding for their sort of education hub that is started to be formed on site. If you haven't been around there recently, it's well worth walking through it, because it really is a good example of how you can take an area of pine and convert it into something that's fairly native friendly, shall we say. They've obviously been doing trapping in there as well. Our row was a path that was put through covenanted land to enable them to trap and get rid of predators through the eco-village. And we've also got an application in for those guys at this stage to try and do some major weed eradication on some other covenanted land. So they're all actively and ongoing, those ones. And then the other one is the walking festival. It's been going, it's in its sixth year this year. We've basically organised it through a wonderful lady called Denise Whitfield for the last 3 years. That starts on the 14th of November, goes on for 9 days until the 22nd. We're up to 46 walks this year.
Wow.
Bookings are online now. First ones are starting to fill up. I think we've got one full. So if you're keen to do it, now's the time to get on the website and find the ones that will suit.
And it's a bit of a major attraction, isn't it? People come from town and from other parts of New Zealand.
It's grown and grown. Last year, I think we had 2,000 registrations and that involved about 800 people, because a lot of people do more than one walk. I think on average, we had about 45 to 50 people per walk. We had people as far afield as, I think we had Alaska, the UK, Germany, Holland, Brazil, Australia. We had one Australian couple that actually came to the island, rented a house for a whole week, did an awful lot of walks, and they're actually coming back again this year to do exactly the same thing again. So it's very much a way of encouraging people to get out there, get active, see the island by foot, which is by far the best way to see a lot of it, get you off the beaten track. It opens up areas of private land that a lot of people otherwise wouldn't get to, which is probably why we get a high number locally. I think 60% or so come locally, 20% are from Auckland, and the other 20% are the rest of New Zealand and overseas. We use it as a way to demonstrate a lot of the conservation programs that we've been involved in and that are going on the island. And so it gives people an experience of what can be achieved. And as I said earlier on, through the previous festivals, it's given us the ability just to talk to landowners and find out who's doing what and who's interested in doing what, and potentially making this predator program something that can actually happen.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming in, Ian. Now, if people, just lastly, if people want to get involved with any of the projects they've heard about today or the Walking Festival, what's the best way to do that?
Walking Festival, probably best to contact Denise. She's either on 7797 or 021-071-7213. Also, look on the website, which is Walking Festival, sorry, wahikiwalkingfestival.org. Happy if you want to give me a ring. I can put you in touch with the various projects, probably best on 2720 or 021-610-074.
Brilliant. Well, thanks again, Ian. That's Ian Burrows, the chairperson of the Hauraki Gulf Conservation Trust. And yeah, listen back to for those numbers. They'll be on the Island Life replay on Waiheke Radio. .co.nz, so you'll be able to get those numbers again or visit those websites that Ian's talked about. So thanks, Ian. Cheers.
Thank you.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
That was Laura Marling with I Feel Your Love. Now, if you lived on Waiheke for a while, if you've just joined us living here on the island, you'll know that the stream down at Little Oni Roa has been polluted for nearly 20 years, but there's a group on the island coming out of the Waiheke Resources Trust who are doing their darndest to make sure that that stream gets back to full health so kids can play in it once again. We don't have to have hazard warnings all over the stream and all over the beach down there. Yesterday I spoke to Kristen Busher from the Waiheke Resources Trust, who is running Project Little Oni Roa with Dawn Jeffries. Over the next couple of weeks, they're going to have a series of workshops on Saturdays and on Thursdays, coming up with an action plan about what they can do to get that stream back to full health. So I'll just play the interview now, and you can hear what they're doing and get a few updates.
If we can just start by just getting a little bit of background on where the stream's at and where it is right now. I understand it's still in a pretty bad state, yeah?
Yeah, so the stream's been in bad state for quite a long time. You know, we're looking at coming on nearly 20 years that the stream's been polluted. And, you know, people have been waiting for something to happen with the stream. You know, oh, it's polluted, something will happen, and nothing's ever happened. So Project Little Lady Rail was kind of started based on that, that no one's coming to do anything. So we, as the community, have to do something about it.
Sure, sure. And is it getting worse as we go along each year, is it? Is it just progressively?
I would say it would be, yep. If things like septic systems and things aren't getting cared for, then the pollution is going to get worse.
Yep.
So I suppose that's where we're at the moment is, you know, looking at what we need to do in order to start getting the stream healthy and not make it get any better, any worse than what it already is.
Sure. So is it the septic tanks on the other side of the road there? Are they the main cause, or are there other causes as well? Are people dumping stuff in there, or is it mainly those septic tanks?
So septic tank runoff is a big issue. There's a couple of hundred houses on the catchment. The catchment runs right up almost to the SPCA.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the houses that back up onto there all have on-site wastewater treatment systems, the septic systems.
Uh-huh.
And they all need to be functioning correctly in order for there not to be, you know, runoff coming into the stream.
Sure.
So not all of those septic systems will be running effectively. So that is a major cause of the problem. Other things that may be contributing is, you know, road runoff.
Sure.
Stormwater runoff. There's no kind of filtration system. The stormwater runoff that comes directly off the roads is running straight into the stream. And there's quite a few outlets all the way up the stream that... you know, come directly off the road and straight into the air.
Okay. Okay, so yeah. Project Little Lonely Rower was, when did that begin? Was it last year? Or was it?
Yeah, so it's been going for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been really busy over the last year. Last year, you know, we've been trying to run an event every month.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of raise awareness about what's going on, do lots of education about, you know, ways that you can help with, you know, we've had septic tank workshops. We had a septic tank workshop where 70 people registered, and we had to cap it at that. It was too full.
Wow.
So people are really eager to kind of learn and want to know more about how, you know, they can do things in their own backyard to help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We've also done, you know, wetland restoration workshops. We're working with some of the landowners on the catchment to help them do restoration work.
Mm-hmm.
On their wetlands to try and get, you know, that can help filter the water through. If people start looking after the wetland areas on their properties, you know, that's a filtration system that's going to help filter any contaminants out of the water. So making sure those kind of ecosystems are working well,
mm-hmm.
is you know, going to be of benefit.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any resistance so far to, you know, education and suggestions that people might need to upgrade their septic tanks or, you know, sort themselves out a little bit?
We've had a really good reception from the public. Mm-hmm. You know, people are really keen to do it. Obviously, people get a bit frightened when you start talking about septic systems.
Sure.
They start thinking that, you know, they're going to be made to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, these are the things that will hopefully come out of the workshops that we're doing,
mm-hmm.
is ways that we can work with people to get their septic systems working well, and hopefully, you know, secure some subsidised funding to help mm-hmm. them do that, so it's not going to be such a big expense.
Sure, sure. Now, have you been getting support from the council, the local board, or anywhere else? Where's your support coming from, or is it all from the Waiheke Resources Trust?
So the Waiheke Resources Trust has been working with Auckland Council and the local board. We meet with them once a month to discuss mm-hmm. the project, mm-hmm. and so we've been working with them.
Brilliant.
Along the way. Yeah, mm-hmm. we've been kind of guiding them and what we've been finding and you know, pushing them to move forward with things.
Is there any time frame that you have that Project Little Lonely Rower has to get everything sorted to get the stream back to full health or to the point where it can start, you know, regenerating, if you like?
Right, yep. So our aim was to have this year to get an action plan sorted.
Mm-hmm.
So this was about, you know, finding out information, getting people on board, engaging the community and working out an action plan that then we're going to be taking, you know, that will go to council and these actions will, you know, start to come to fruition. So at the end of these action plan workshops, we'll have something, you know, that we can use to work over the next 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and get systems in place that will hopefully, you know, deal to the pollution in the stream.
So there's a few more of the action plan workshops coming up, aren't there? So there's one today, which is Saturday, and then there's Thursday. Is that right? And then the following Thursday, and then the next two Saturdays as well.
Yep, that's right. So there were six workshops all up. We've had one, which was on Thursday, which was great. We had people from Auckland Council. We had local board members. We had half of the people that were there were locals that had just come on their own steam. And we also had people from Auckland Transport. So we had a good range of people at that workshop. And then we've got one today, happening today, and then again for the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really encouraging people to come along. We want as much input as possible into these action plan. And even if you can only make one workshop, you know, it's worth it.
Now, how many people are involved on the sort of on the project team there? Have you got a team of volunteers and other people from the community who have who are giving their time and their energy?
Yeah, sure. So we've got a thing called the Friends of the Stream, mm-hmm. and we've got over 200 people who are involved in that, and they receive updates of what's going on each month. But of them, a lot of them have put down that they're willing to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got you know, a big to people behind us that that help with our events and things. So it's really great to, you know, get the community involved and they're kind of taking it on board as their own project as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And in November you've got some water testing. Are they workshops or sort of community days down at the stream?
Yeah. So we've got a really exciting event coming up. We're going to be working with Rata Gordon from Waikia. And we are asking for people to come along and learn how to do water testing. So we're going to have people volunteer. They're going to become water testers for the Lanuera stream.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got an event happening where she will run through how to do that, and you'll get given a pack and to take home, and you'll become a water tester. So it's a great thing to do with kids.
Yep.
It'll be looking at things in the stream, like testing the clarity, the pH levels, dissolved oxygen and the temperature of the water, and you'll also be able to have a look at little stream bugs and things that you wouldn't normally notice or see. So we would love for lots of people to come along to that. That's at the Little Lanuera Playground,
uh-huh.
on Sunday the 15th of November,
uh-huh.
at 12 p.m.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we're having a free barbecue afterwards, so...
Food always helps, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing you guys are doing, because I remember about 30 years ago when I was about a five-year-old sort of playing around that stream, and there were sort of ducks and everything down there, and it was sort of, you know, it was sort of healthy, and it's just really gone downhill since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it would be so great to be able, for our children to be able to do that, you know,
mm-hmm.
to build dams and run around and get wet in that stream and just, you know, enjoy it instead of going there and being told constantly to get out of the stream.
Yeah.
You know, that stream's polluted. Get out of that.
Yep.
Don't go near it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And look, if people do want to get involved and they want to volunteer or they want to find out about what you're doing, where should they go? You've got a Facebook page and that sort of thing?
We've got a Project Lanuera Facebook page, so you can go on there and like our page. That'd be great. And share it amongst your friends. You can also go to our website, wrt.org.nz, and you can become a friend of the stream there, and we'll send you out updates. Also, as a friend of the stream, you qualify for a 20% discount on EcoStore products. So we'll send you a little code, and you can go online and get 20% off EcoStore products, which are septic safe.
Brilliant.
And good for the environment. Yeah, so, it's good.
And members of the community can also donate money if they need to through those pages, can they?
What we've got is we've got a Give a Little page.
Okay.
So if you go to givealittle.org.nz,
mm-hmm.
And just type in Project Little Lanuera, and our page will come up there. And so, yeah, it'd be great if anyone, you know, can't make the workshops and would like to contribute, or would just like to contribute to the project in general, we would, you know, really appreciate any donations.
Brilliant. Well, That's all we have for today, but thank you very, very much for your time, and thank you very much for sort of, you know, leading the way and keeping that stream, or getting that stream back to full health, because it's a vital part of the island and it's a really beautiful spot. So, yeah, thanks again. Yeah.
Not a problem.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.